Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And Elizabeth, we started with the story of a little boy, probably about fifth, sixth grade. He's on his way to school, and every day bullies stop him at the same point, and they take away his lunch money and threaten to beat him up. And he is just feeling awful about this. He's feeling sick to his stomach because he feels like such a wimp. His older brother, who was a teenager, realized something was wrong with the boy, pulled him aside and asked him, and finally got the story from him. He said, you cannot let a bully win. You've got to stare him down. You've got to say no and stand up to him.
Yeah, but that's easy, you know, easier said than done.
Of course it is. And this kid's thinking, if I do that, I'm going to get creamed. But he finally decided he would take the advice of his brother. So he heads off to school again, this time trembling, knowing he's going to get beat up, thinking this could be his last day on earth, mm-hmm. you know. But what he doesn't know is that his brother has skipped school and is following him behind him, hiding in the bushes so that he won't see him. And finally, the boy comes to the particular place. The bullies, sure enough, meet him again, and they demand his lunch money. And for the first time in his life, he said, no, not today, and then waited for the consequence. And to his amazement and surprise, the boys had this startled look on their face, began to tremble, and then ran away.
How come?
And he's thinking, you know, this really works.
Yeah.
What he didn't know is that his big brother was standing right behind him with a rather menacing look at these kids.
Yeah, that was what was scaring them, not the little
not
kid.
Not the little
but
kid.
He didn't know that.
But, you know, that story is a good metaphor for what happens at the end of time. The bully himself, Satan, and his emissaries have been pushing us around. But the end of the story is that Jesus, our elder brother, stands up to the bully. In fact, gives the bully his due.
Yeah, it's very important to understand the book of Revelation and its symbols in the overall picture of the one that is defending us. And so many people, when they hear about God's wrath or God's judgment, they think upon themselves, you know, the people of God. But in the book of Revelation, that's not the way that judgment or wrath is talked about. It's about God avenging his own children or his own brothers, in the case of Jesus, and actually defending them from the bully who is Satan.
That's right. And that's what we're talking about today. Now, 2 days ago, we finished up with the first six seals. You remember that, ending up in Revelation 6. Then we took yesterday and talked about that pause, the interlude between the sixth and seventh seal. The seventh seal starts in Revelation 8, 1 and 2, and basically it tells us that the seventh seal is the blowing of the seven trumpets.
Now, blowing of trumpets in the Bible symbolizes an intervention of God in history. It's when God is about to intervene in a particular way, and that's why the trumpets come. It's like a sound that catches your attention to say God is about to intervene.
That's right. You would blow trumpets before the army marched into battle.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a call to arms, and that's really what this is. Now, there's a lot of material here in the first sixth trumpets, and they are basically preparatory to the main event, and the main event is found in the seventh trumpet as it foresees the second coming of Christ. And that's really what we'd like to focus on today with the time we have.
Yes, the first six trumpets talk about God's response to the suffering of his people, how he's going to avenge them. This is a father or an older brother that is coming to avenge those that were targets of the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And the seventh trumpet is the revelation of the mystery that it's about to be all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and don't forget that here we have in the last few chapters talked about difficult times of tribulation and suffering, even for the children of God. And here we have God saying, okay, this is it. The time has come. There's no more time. The time has run out for the bully.
Right. The time of suffering is over. Now it's the time for vindication. And we find the seventh trumpet beginning in verse 15 of chapter 11 of the book of Revelation. And the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. This is announcing the establishment of the kingdom of Christ forever and ever.
And it follows, like we said, all these other interventions of God that were dealing, avenging people, the people of God. And now we are foreseeing that the time is almost over. And we get these images from a very similar situation in the book of Daniel. Remember that we told you at the beginning that we have two main apocalyptic books in the Bible, Daniel and Revelation. And so we have in chapter 2 of Daniel a very similar scene of this, actually, that explains the same situation in verse 44.
And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever.
So here we have the same situation, Daniel 2:44, to what we are seeing here in Revelation 11:15, where we finally understand that God is about to establish his kingdom through Jesus Christ. And it's very interesting that the representatives of the human race, that are the 24 elders that we have been seeing throughout Revelation, they just fall to their faces when they hear that the time is here.
Finally, they say, and so they worship God. In fact, verse 16, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign."
So here we have some the representatives of the human race thanking God because finally he has come to do judgment and avenge the blood of the children. And so we get this very interesting visualization now in verse 19 of what this looks like. All of a sudden in this vision, John can see the actual temple of God and something very specific in it.
This is a beautiful picture. Verse 19, and the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. And the ark of his covenant, and that's something we're going to remember here, hang on to those words, the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm.
Okay, don't forget that this is the moment that Christ's reign is being foreseen. We are right before the second coming, and John is understanding that something related to the covenant is about to take place. That's why he mentions that he sees in this vision the Ark of the Covenant. Perhaps you remember what the card of Ark of the Covenant is in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. God tells the people of Israel to actually create a box, per se, where they're going to keep the covenant that he has made with them inside this place. And the Ark of the Covenant becomes a symbol of God's presence with them at all times and his faithfulness to keep the covenant.
The glory of God reigned there. The Ten Commandments were inside, which is a part of the covenant of God to us. That covenant, of course, is the promise of restoration. The bully came into planet Earth and caused sin to reign here. And God first announced that covenant by telling Satan, "I'm going to crush your head," in Genesis 3:15.
Yeah, that's the place where we actually start understanding what's going on. You can even think about it as humanity being created in God's image and a kidnapper coming and just taking away his children. And God saying in Genesis 3:15, "I'm going to crush your head." Right. And Revelation being the time when he's doing that.
No, I'm going to find you, I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to redeem my children. I'm your worst nightmare, he's saying. And of course, through the ages, he has repeated this covenant to Abraham, to Moses, to David. Down through the ages, it's been repeated over and over again. And now, verse 19 is telling us that he's about to establish that reign in fulfillment of his covenant.
Now, if you remember, we talked about this in the past, the covenantal phrase that we have throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is, "I will be your God and you will be my people," because this was the original reason why God created humanity, so that we could be in intimacy with him. He is like our dad. And here, finally, he's coming back scaring the bully away, actually dealing with the bully once and for all.
He's more than just frightening him. He's going to kill him.
That's right. No wonder that the 24 elders are falling on their faces and saying to God, thank you.
Yes.
Finally, you came for us. It's like a little girl that is frightened in the hands of the kidnapper, and they're just waiting for the parents to come and take them away, you know?
You think about all the terrible things that Satan has caused on this planet and that sin has caused, with the war, the destruction, the disease, the oppression of people, the molestation of and injury of children, and on it goes. And God is saying, enough. Mm-hmm. It's over. Mm. And I'm going to take care of the bully.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if you had lost your children.
Oh, man.
Imagine, you know, Mike, you have two daughters.
Yes.
I mean, if somebody took your daughters,
oh, man.
This whole thing, this whole section of avenging, you know, as a parent is saying, that's it, no more. That you have no more time to the kidnapper. Those are the best news that we have for you today. And I know that the world right now is filled with terrible things.
Oh, it's an ugly place right now.
Yes, and this is why we need this book so much. This was a similar place to what the seven churches were going through, tribulations, poverty, affliction, all kinds of things. And the book says, look, there is a time coming very, very soon, says the book, because it's about to take place in this seventh trumpet, where God is about to say enough, and he will intervene in history once and for all.
Jesus was another one who promised, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is covenantal phrase. He's saying, I'm going to come and I'm going to get you, and you will never be away from my side. I'm taking care of the bully. And you will live with me forever in a place where it will never, you'll never have sin, sickness, disease, sorrow, or war. It's going to be okay. I'm going to make it up to you. That is the covenant. He is coming. He is coming soon.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!